We're very fortunate to be living in a time when the Buddha's teachings are still available to us. Eventually, there'll come a time when even the word Buddha isn't heard anywhere. But for now, not only do we have the opportunity to learn about the Buddha and learn about his disciples, but we also have the opportunity to learn his teachings. And the teachings that he gave were not only detailed, but very complete. And when we have this opportunity, we want to be sure to learn as much as we can about what the Buddha taught. Some people criticize learning, saying, enlightenment isn't in books, right? But the Buddha always praised being bahusutto, being someone who's heard a lot, someone who has learned the Buddha's teachings, because we have to face many different situations in life, and the Buddha gave us instructions how to train our minds in each of those situations. So, fortunately, the Buddha gave us a very straightforward plan that we need to follow if we want to get the happiness that he experienced. So, he encouraged all his disciples, at the very least, to try and attain the first stage of enlightenment. So the Buddha explained that enlightenment can happen in stages. Sometimes for some people it happens all at once, and they achieve full enlightenment just on the spot, all at once. But for most people, there's a series of stages. But the first stage of enlightenment brings incredible benefit with it. And the amount of suffering that we eliminate is huge. The Buddha once gave a simile. He picked up a little bit of dirt under his fingernail and asked the monks, which is greater, this little bit of dirt or the entire earth? The monks said, of course, the earth is much greater. What's in your hand is insignificant. Doesn't count at all. The Buddha said, yes, in the same way, someone who has attained the first stage of enlightenment, stream entry, sotapanna, the suffering that person has eliminated is like the great earth. And the suffering that remains for them is like this little bit under my fingernails. So great is the benefit of attaining the first stage of enlightenment. Right, and so unbeneficial is everything else before that. So many opportunities for suffering. So the Buddha gave a plan that if we follow that plan, then the Buddha says, definitely we'll attain the first stage of enlightenment. So there's four steps to this plan. The first one is to associate with good people. In Pali, sappurisa sangsevo. So the Pali word is sappurisa. Purisa is a person. And sap means true. So sometimes when you read translations, you'll see that it talks about a true person. And even though that's literally the translation, it doesn't necessarily have a lot of meaning. Because then you'd think the opposite is a false person. So what, you know, would that be? So the Buddha explained that a sappurisa is someone who has learned the Buddha's teachings and is trying to practice those teachings. Maybe they've achieved enlightenment, maybe they haven't. Maybe they're still working to attain something. So the Buddha said that the first step in this plan to attain enlightenment is to associate with good people. The Buddha said, without associating with good people, it's very difficult to train the mind, to train our speech, to train our actions. That if we don't have good examples, it's very hard to achieve really deep states of meditation, very pure kinds of verbal action, bodily action, mental action. Right? This is part of the reason why we learn about the lives of the great disciples, because it's through their examples we see what's really possible. So the Buddha said this first step is to associate with good people. Then the second step is to listen to the Dhamma from those good people. And that's one of the ways that we can tell if someone is this Sapurisa that we're looking for, because they know the Dhamma. And when we come in contact with them, they can teach us the things that we need to know. Right? They can give us the right kind of advice for the situation. The Buddha said, it's hard to listen to the Dhamma if we don't have this association with good people. So that's the second step, to listen to the Dhamma. The third step is to reflect wisely on this Dhamma. Yoniso manasikara. Right? Because these teachings, they're not just a philosophy, they're not just some ideas, but they're things that we have to really investigate. Right? We may not be able to see how they're true at first, but when we really think about them, when we keep them in mind, when we look honestly at our lives, right, we can see, when I dwell on the past, I suffer. When I hold on to grudges, I do things that I regret. Right? I miss out on happiness. When we do these very deep reflections on the body, the nature of the body, the impermanence of the body, this inevitability of old age, sickness and death, they're not the happy thoughts that some people like to fill their lives with necessarily. Right? People, the internet nowadays, social media, right? People like to click on the happy thoughts, right? The warm fuzzy things. Right? But the Buddha says we need to look at all these different aspects of life. That if we're not examining these things, right, then we have to be shocked when we're faced with them. Right? If we're not reflecting on the shortness of our life, then we can get kind of lazy and not work as hard as we can, not experience the same kind of happiness. Right? So the Buddha says, we have to reflect on these things. We have to see, right, how this applies to ourselves, that it's not just facts that we're learning, but we have to see, this body, it's impermanent. I can see the changes happening. Right? When I was young, my body recovered very quickly from things, but now as I get older, right, the wounds don't heal as quickly. We get different problems that we never had before. And if we don't have this Dhamma to reflect on wisely, right, then we have this natural tendency to try and escape the situation. Right? How can I keep this aging from happening? Right? What can I do to cover this up? But when we keep the Dhamma in mind, when we reflect on it, then we see, if I think that I'm going to get happiness just through this body, I'm deceiving myself. If I think that the highest kinds of happiness are from the most material wealth, then I'm deceiving myself. So this very important third step, this reflecting wisely on the Dhamma. And then the fourth step, living our lives according to this Dhamma. That if all we do is think about it, then we don't get the full benefit. Right? We have to actually consciously turn ourselves around, turn our minds around, turn our actions around. Right? Give up the bad habits that we have with our speech. Right? Give up gossiping. Give up using harsh speech. Give up doing all the things, right, that leads us away from seeing the truth. So this is the fourth factor. Living our lives according to these teachings. People say, right, Buddhism, it's just a way of life. Right? And it is a way of life. If we're not changing our behavior because of the things that we're learning, either that means we're already enlightened before we heard the Dhamma, or it means that we're not doing what we have to do. Right? If we're not giving up, right, the material pleasures that we've sought after for so long, and if we're not developing happiness that comes through meditation, right? Then we're not getting the benefit, and we won't keep moving towards that goal. So, one of the things that we need to be skilled in is the ability to recognize these good people, these sadhpurusa. That if we can't recognize good people around us, then we don't make the effort to spend time with them. And we don't make the effort to develop those same good qualities in ourselves. So the Buddha told us many ways that we can recognize these sadhpurusa, these good people. And one of them is through how they use their speech. Asadpurusa, bad people, untrue people, right? People who are not trying to practice the Buddha's teachings, they use their speech in a certain way that we can easily start to identify. So, the Buddha says, "Monks, one who possesses four qualities can be understood to be a bad person. What for? Here, monks, a bad person discloses the faults of others, even when not asked about them. How much more, then, when asked? But when he is asked about them, then, led on by questions, he speaks about the faults of others without gaps or omissions, fully and in detail. It can be understood this fellow is a bad person." So, the first quality, this person likes to talk about other people's faults, likes to find faults with others, and likes to spread it around. Right? So much that they do it without even being asked. Right? Some people, they may keep their mouth shut until someone asks them, but then with an invitation, they let it all out. "I was waiting for you to ask me about that person. I've got this, you know, juicy gossip about them." Right? But this really bad person, they don't hesitate. They may actually even find enjoyment in it. Right? They may enjoy ruining someone's reputation. Maybe they're jealous, right? And so they want to somehow knock down that person. Or maybe they want to separate friends, right, by talking about someone's bad qualities. When we see someone doing this, it's very easy for us to recognize and to think, yeah, I don't want to associate with that person, right? Because we know if they're willing to talk about, you know, that third person's bad qualities, what are they going to say when I'm not around? What are they going to say about me? That we know that when someone is always finding faults, right, then they're not interested in harmony. They're not interested in looking right at the good that other people have. So that's the second quality. Again, a bad person does not disclose the virtues of others, even when asked about them. How much less then when not asked? But when he is asked about them, then, though led on by questions, he speaks about the virtues of others with gaps and omissions, not fully or in detail. It can be understood, this fellow is a bad person. So, on a flip side, they don't like to praise other people's good qualities. They don't like to point out when other people have achieved prosperity or happiness, when other people have done good things. They don't like to talk about that at all. Maybe they're a very jealous person, right? So they don't want others to think that there's better people out there. And even if you pressure them, right, they'll only say the smallest things just to change the conversation. That we can know when we see these behaviors in someone that they're not someone that we want to build a friendship with. Right? Then the third factor, again, a bad person does not disclose his own faults, even when asked about them, how much less then when not asked. But when he is asked about them, then, though led on by questions, he speaks about his own faults with gaps and omissions, not fully or in detail. It can be understood, this fellow is a bad person. So they like to hide their own bad qualities. They miss out completely on the opportunity to get help with their bad qualities. Right? When we're so ashamed of the bad habits that we have that we're not willing to even talk to good friends about them, then we lose the chance to benefit, to get advice, to help us out of or bad situation. So this third quality in this person, right, they don't want anyone to know that they have shortcomings. Very arrogant, right, very proud. And then the fourth quality. Again, a bad person discloses his own virtues, even when not asked about them. How much more then, when asked? But when he is asked about them, then, led on by questions, he speaks about his own virtues without gaps and omissions, fully and in detail. It can be understood, this fellow is a bad person. So, not only does he like to hide his faults, but he's a braggart, right? Always showing off, always pointing out, right, their own good behavior, the things that they've achieved. We've all been around people like that, right? That always seem willing to show off, willing to explain, right, how lucky we are to know them. So the Buddha said that when we start to pay attention to other people's behavior, we can start to see, right, what's inside their minds. That someone who likes to brag, right, who who doesn't like to have their faults known. Right? Maybe they even would lie to cover up their faults. That's not someone that we want to invest our time in. Right? They're not going to be a good friend to us. They're not really interested in developing wholesome qualities. So then the Buddha, of course, talks about the opposite. Who it is that we want to bring into our lives, who it is that we want to imitate, how we want to act so we can become a good person. And remember, when we use good person and bad person here, it's not just a simple designation. It's hard in English to find really the right words. We can maybe say a person of integrity, right? A person who's really committed to developing good qualities. So, here, bhikkhus, a good person does not like to disclose the faults of others, even when asked about them, how much less then when not asked. But when he is asked about them, then, though led on by questions, he speaks about the faults of others with gaps and omissions, not fully or in detail. It can be understood this fellow is a good person. So, there's lots of problems, right, with talking about people's bad qualities. And lots of reasons to give up that behavior. We, for one thing, maybe we're wrong. Maybe the person that we want to gossip about, maybe they've fixed the problem, right? Because if we don't believe that people have the ability to change their behavior, then we don't believe in the Buddha's Dhamma, right? So if we go around talking about people's bad qualities, we might not even be saying something that's true, right? Someone may have given up those bad qualities, right? And we've had the experience of having someone tell us something about someone else, right? Maybe we thought that this person was really good, but then someone comes to us and reveals, right, some dirty little secret. And from then on, right, our mind gets poisoned against that person. But when we associate with people who don't like to talk about those things, right, then in our mind these problems don't build up. We don't divide ourselves from people unnecessarily. You know, when we think about, right, once a week we put the garbage, right, out at the side of the road. But we don't like to go and dig in other people's garbage, right? We don't like to put their garbage in our mouths, right? But that's kind of what we're doing when we talk about other people's bad qualities, right? It's like we're putting those negative things into our own mouths, right? Chewing them over, right? Better to just let that be. So the second factor, again, a good person discloses the virtues of others, even when not asked about them. How much more then, when asked? But when he is asked about them, then, led on by questions, he speaks about the virtues of others without gaps or omissions, fully and in detail. It can be understood, this fellow is a good person. So, someone who is interested in developing good qualities, right? They like to point them out when they see them in others. This is This is related to this practice of mudita that the Buddha taught us to develop, that we should be happy about the achievement of others. We should be happy about the virtues that other people have. We should be happy about the good karma that others have done. Right? Because we want to develop those same qualities in our own lives. So, this good person, they're not afraid of building someone else up, right? Not afraid of having everyone know, right? The good qualities in other people. It's a really great habit to have, right? To switch this habit of instead of pointing out people's faults, to point out people's good qualities. Right? It can be really hard to keep people's bad qualities to ourselves. Right? Especially, you know, the Buddha points out, especially when someone asks us. Right? Maybe we heard something and we're just thinking, gosh, you know, if people just knew, right, this terrible thing that person did, right, then they wouldn't treat them that way, right? And it can be really hard, especially when someone asks us, right, what do you know about that person, right? Really hard. But when we do keep it to ourselves afterwards, it's a great feeling. It's like, I made it, right? I didn't have to say that, right? Because sometimes it feels like, you know, we have the obligation to say these things. Or that, you know, it's just information, because some people can easily misunderstand the precepts, thinking, well, it's not a lie, right? These good things, these bad things that we know about someone could be true. So we justify thinking, well, at least it's not a lie, right? It's true. But when we, you know, hold on to these things, really give it reflections, it's really necessary to say these things, then our mind becomes very peaceful. And people look at us differently, right? They may even stop asking us about other people. Yeah, he's not going to say anything, right? She only says good things about people. I want to hear some gossip, right? So people start to pick up on these things, right? And if they know that you don't say bad things about people, then even if you know, if they really pressure you and you just say, well, you know, maybe you don't want to hang out with them, right? Then people know, oh yeah, if they're willing to say that about someone, then I should pay attention to that. I should take their words very seriously, right? Because there may be times when when we have to sort of steer one person away from another, right? And in those situations, it's very easy to say, okay, well, now I have all my justifications. They're asking, and really would be good to keep those, you know, to keep them away from that third person, right? And so when we have all the factors, we can totally justify it, then we kind of let loose with everything that we know. But if we've trained our mind to say, yeah, I have to have a really good reason to say bad things about someone, right? Then we can be very skillful, and we don't have any regret afterwards, right? Because sometimes when we say things about someone, then afterwards we think, oh gosh, I wish I hadn't said that, right? Or I hope they don't find out what I said about them, right? All these problems can come up. So, third factor that we want to look for. Again, a good person discloses his own faults even when not asked about them. How much more then when asked? But when he is asked about them, then Led on by questions, he speaks about his own faults without gaps and omissions, fully and in detail. It can be understood, this fellow is a good person. So, this is the quality that we want to develop in our own lives. That we don't want to hide these things from other people, right? Because we have this goal of overcoming our bad qualities, right? If we don't talk about these things with our teachers, with our good spiritual friends, then it's very hard to overcome the problems that we have in our lives, right? But when we say to someone, "Yes, you know, I was so jealous of that person," right? If we say that to a sapurisa, to a good person, right, then right away they can turn the situation around. They can say, "Yes, you know, the person that you're jealous of, surely they must have done good karma in the past to have that, whatever that good fortune is that you're jealous about. Why don't we collect our own good karma?" Right? But if we kept that jealousy to ourselves, then maybe it just would have built up more and more. So then, the fourth quality. Again, a good person does not disclose his own virtues, even when asked about them, how much less then when not asked. But when he is asked about them, then, led on by questions, he speaks about his own virtues, with gaps and omissions, not fully or in detail. It can be understood, this person is a good person. So, this fourth factor, the sapurisa, they're not bragging, right? They know that if people want to see their good qualities, people will discover them, right? They don't need to go around telling everyone, right? There's a very interesting story of a monk who took on the sitter's practice. So this is a difficult practice that the Buddha said monks can take on if they wish, monks or nuns. And it involves not lying down to sleep, to stay in the seated posture all night long. Very difficult, don't necessarily recommend it, because it is so difficult. But it's something the Buddha said some people can find a benefit from. And so there was a junior monk, I think traveling with a senior monk, and the senior monk didn't take up that practice. He went to bed at night, but the junior monk, he stayed sitting. And there was a storm that night, and there was some lightning, and it woke up the senior monk. And he saw in the flash of light this junior monk sitting right in the middle of the night. And so the senior monk asked him, "Oh, do you keep the sitter's practice?" And the other monk said, "Oh, I'll just lie down now," right? And he gave up his sitter's practice on the spot. He had kept it for years and years, right? But he didn't want other people to know about it. He didn't want people to think that he was special just because he was doing that. So, this quality of kind of holding back, being really sure that we need to share something about ourselves that we're really proud of, thinking, you know, maybe I don't need to talk about that with other people. So, very simple principles here, right? That we don't want to talk about other people's bad qualities. We we want to talk about other people's good qualities. any opportunity that we have. Right? We want to be very shy and humble about talking about our own good qualities. But we want to to not be shy, to be very honest about our own shortcomings. Right? So as we go about life, we can start to look and see in other people. Like, are they somebody that's always criticizing other people? Or are they someone who's always praising other people? Who's always grateful for what other people do? Right? Or are they concerned about propping themselves up, making themselves really popular, right? by bragging about things? So then, as we look for these qualities in others, right, because we may not have noticed this before. We may not have noticed that when given the opportunity, one of our friends doesn't talk about other people's bad qualities. Or maybe we haven't noticed that given the opportunity, they do very quickly. Right? So now that we know about these factors to look for, we can start to see them in other people. And the good qualities that we see, we can start to develop in our own lives. So today we've had the chance to learn about this plan that the Buddha had for us, that begins with associating with good people, learning the Dhamma from them, reflecting on it wisely, applying it to our own lives. And we got to learn these qualities that we can recognize in other people by how they use their speech. If they use their speech to help other people or to hurt other people, right? To help themselves or to hurt themselves. So, having learned these teachings, may we ourselves reflect on them wisely. May we put these teachings into practice in our own lives. May we develop these very same skills that we want to look for in others. Through the power of this merit, may we one day realize the goal of the Buddha's path, the supreme bliss of Nibbana, in this Gautama Buddha's dispensation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.